Muhammad. You are tuned in to The Watchman, Shedrick Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Hip, hip, bob, to the socialize, issued rhythm, batter on the rise.
One more time. I'm sorry. I got to do this.
In preparing for this interview, I read the literature that your organization puts out and publishes, and I'd like to go through some of it to find out what you believe and how it affects America. This is your newspaper, which comes out once a month, and on the back page,
once a week,
and the back page is the Muslim program, What the Muslims Want. And if I could go through a few of these, let me put one on the screen and get your reaction. The first is in terms of territory, and you'll see, since we cannot get along with them in peace and equality, we believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete separation in a state or territory of our own. Is that your view in 1997, a separate state for black Americans?
First, the program starts with number one. That is number four. The first part of that program is that we want freedom, a full and complete freedom. And the second is we want justice, and we want equal justice under the law, and we want justice applied equally to all, regardless of race or class or color. And the third is that we want equality. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. If we can get that within the political, economic, social system of America, there's no need for point number four. But if we cannot get along in peace after giving America 400 years of our service and sweat and labor, then of course separation would be the solution to our race problem.
I mean, damn, how reasonable is that? It's called divorce. So Cameron said, I love how the minister didn't allow him to define his position. The minister exposed that information was being misused and the viewer was being misinformed. Obama is good at doing this as well. He even cut a person off if they are wrong. Yeah, the minister had to cut Tim Russett off. No, my brother, Tim. The final call comes out every week, my brother, not every month. Another post here. Mark M., my brother from another mother from D.C., he says, peace, brother said. I've been digging along the same lines. I saw an interview with the billionaire Bob Johnson where he was asked, would he want to link up with billionaire Oprah Winfrey to create or take over their own TV institution? He tossed the question back by saying he would be open to that idea, but noted that in general, the black folks who have been able to navigate the game up until the highest level still don't think that the next logical progression would be to unite their resources and create their own game. In other words, thus far, neither Bob or Oprah have a thought to call each other for the purpose of jointly building their own game. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said once, he said, and this is not for Oprah or Bob Johnson necessarily. I just wanted to say this. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said once, he said, you are so lazy that you would rather be the slave to a smart man than be a smart man yourself. You are so lazy that you would rather be a slave to a smart man than be a smart man yourself. Bino says it's a pipe dream for those whose sponsors are primarily white-owned companies. Bino also says President Obama is pragmatic. Melvin Smith from Holyoke, Massachusetts, I believe, says a summary of core curriculum for our institution building. A summary of the core curriculum for our institution building. Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. Do for self. Moving beyond survival to development. Education for liberation. Ready for revolution. Thus building institutions. Amen, amen. Mel Manjaro. So Mel Manjaro is giving us the curriculum for institution building. One, these are all quotes, by the way, famous statements, slogans, or rallying cries. Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. That's one. Two, do for self. Three, moving beyond survival to development. And four, education for liberation. Five, ready for revolution, thus building institutions. Raji disagrees with my assessment of Blake Griffin, the great one, the great Blake Griffin, Raji from Dallas, Texas. Could that be Texas hate for Oklahoma that you're exhibiting, Raji? Raji says, Blake Griffin, overrated, Cedric. He will be exposed at the next level when he can't body and push other forwards around and shows that he has no back to the basket game. He is another Corliss Williamson. Remember him? Ooh. Or Walter Berry. Remember him, Raji? So Raji is saying Blake Griffin is like Corliss Williamson, who reminds me of Walter Berry. Maybe Wayman Tisdale, another Oklahoman. I think Blake Griffin Blake Griffin is better than Corliss Williamson. What do you all think? LA's all from Brooklyn. He says, Cedric, it's funny how you mentioned Bill Clinton. If you haven't already heard, Clinton is trying to get people to invest in Haiti, and now Haitians are starting to have a strong interest in the country. What a damn shame. I mean, that's how it works. I mean, we all know that Haiti has been suffering and struggling, but it takes special envoy, President Bill Clinton, to make it official. Just like Iowa made Obama official. You feel me? Craig from Columbia, South Carolina, who's updating me privately on the situation with Governor Sanford. He says, Minister Farrakhan is the clearest and most effective communicator of the will, purpose, and reciprocity of justice, equality, equity, and balance of any human being I have ever seen or heard. Those of us who have benefited from his wisdom must become better representatives of his yoke. On another note, how do you feel about President Obama's fiscal policy as it relates to the Federal Reserve Bank? Man, Craig, we did so many shows on what was going on with the economy earlier this year. I'll get back to that. But so far, my position hasn't changed. The amount of spending that President Obama has brought to us through the stimulus and the bailout that came from President Bush as well, the TARP program, TALF, all of these guarantees, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac takeover, the rise and the increase of the insurance guarantee for bank deposits is going to cause the Federal Reserve to have to print up money, and they already have done it, to buy U.S. debt to finance the deficit. So all of this spending will not produce the economic growth necessary to pay for itself. Therefore, the country will have to do more borrowing, Craig, which means that they will have to get foreign investors to purchase the debt instruments, the treasury bills, the notes, and the bonds. The foreign governments, Craig, are already cutting back on their dollar-denominated debt. So the Federal Reserve will have to buy this debt. That means printing up money. Poor President Obama, he had to do what he had to do, but too much spending. The Fed will monetize the debt, print up money to buy these treasury issues. Mike Millions, the great Mike Millions, he's like Carl Lewis. He's the fourth leg of the anchor team. He comes in strong at the end. He says, the interview is a perfect example of why I love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and consider him my spiritual father. Kevin says, damn, teach. Cameron says, I would even venture to say the minister stole Russert's thunder when he corrected him about the publishing of the paper. He tripped him up from the beginning. You're good, said. Your clips really illustrate so much. That's why I have to tune in, bro. Thank you, Cameron. Cameron is multitasking too, by the way, while he listens, as many of you are. All right, let me finally get to the West African Monetary Zone. Let me read this story, give you a little background. Challenges of a single West African currency. So this, listen closely, you'll get caught up on what's been going on in Africa, in the western region of the continent, to bring about economic regional integration, we call it. ECOWAS, the community of Western African states, a big player in this. Also the WAMZ, the West African Monetary Zone. Here's the article. I think this is from the This Day Online, a Nigerian newspaper, on Monday. Some fresh life was breathed into the efforts of the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, for the realization of a 10-year-old dream for a common currency. Recently in Abuja, the Convergence Council of ECOWAS approved a revised roadmap for the realization of a single currency for West Africa. But as the history of the commitment of member states to the dreams of the community show, a lot more than the revision is required to achieve the dream. The roadmap, which targets the full realization of the dream of a single currency in the year 2020, has clearly defined quarterly milestones starting this year. Between 2009 and the first quarter of 2013, the roadmap envisions. When you can't say a word and you don't know how to pronounce it, just remix it. Envisages means envision. The roadmap envisions the harmonization of the regulatory and supervisory framework for banking and other financial institutions, the establishment of a payment system infrastructure for cross-border transactions, the completion of the repayment system infrastructure in Guinea, the Gambia, and Sierra Leone, countries that are lagging behind in e-payment systems, and the completion of the ongoing integration of the financial markets of the region. Then, through the creation of the West African Monetary Zone, the WAMZ, comprising Ghana, the Gambia, Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Nigeria, a monetary union for the zone, the introduction of the ECO common currency for the zone in January 2015, and the eventual merger of the ECO and the CFA currency of the French-speaking West Africa currencies, the dream of a single currency would be realized. So that's a narrative on how to get there. This was supposed to have happened, though, December of this year. Now we have to wait 5 years. So this newspaper is saying that this is good news. Maybe they'll do it the right way. I think it's bad news. I think Africa could have a single currency within 7 years if they really wanted to. Now here's an excerpt from my proposal to the African Union, which, God willing, I'm turning into a book later on this year. Maybe December. I have to get my book on entrepreneurship out first. Here's in a section I write, Africa's existing regional monetary unions and regional economic communities. Of the post-independence efforts at monetary union, Western Africa has taken the firmest steps. The heads of states of six countries in West Africa decided in Accra, Ghana on April 20th, 2000 to establish a second monetary zone to be known as the West African Monetary Zone, the WAMZ, by the year 2003. The Gambia, Ghana, Guinea, Liberia, Nigeria, and Sierra Leone signed the Accra Declaration, defining the objectives of the zone as well as an action plan and institutional arrangements to ensure the speedy implementation of their decision. It was envisioned that this zone would be merged with the CFA franc zone to form a single monetary zone in West Africa by the year January 2004. Now, family, what I'm saying here is this. What you just heard is supposed to happen in 2013. It was already supposed to happen by January 2004. That's why this is not good news. I have to keep it real. The transition to monetary union is managed by the West African Monetary Institute, the WAMI, which received its mandate on December 15, 2000 and began operations in January of 2001. Obviously, the union has not yet happened. In May of 2005, the countries of the zone issued the Banjul Declaration of the commencement of the WAMZ Monetary Union by December 1st, 2009. What caused the delay? Now, I put this together, updated in February, but this was originally put together last November. So I'm asking the question, what caused the delay? The noble effort was admittedly rushed, with key factors not initially and still not properly taken into account. The monetary policy rules of the future West African Central Bank were not clear. And family, they're still not clear. The subject of monetary policy is allotted but one sentence in the West African Monetary Institute's mandate. Quote, the Institute will pursue appropriate monetary policy to ensure price stability and sustained economic growth in these countries as part of the overall ECOWAS integration. I gotta switch pages, hold on. Effort. It is unclear, therefore, whether the new monetary union will pursue. Now, I'm saying that's a very vague statement. They haven't gotten more specific than that. It is unclear, therefore, whether the new monetary union will pursue a quantity target, which is a growth of a specific monetary aggregate. This gets a little technical, but just let me finish this. An inflation target, an exchange rate target, or some combination. Price stability can be measured in two ways, the rate of a consumer price inflation index, a measure of internal value, and the behavior of the exchange rate, a measure of external value. On these matters as well, the member states have had a poor record since establishing central banking. And then I have a table which I'll show you all later. I go through the Gambia, Ghana, Guinea, Liberia, Nigeria, and Sierra Leone, their currency, the Defasi, the Cedi, the Franc, the Dollar, the Naira, and the Leone. They had central banks established in the 70s, 50s, and 60s, and how bad their exchange rate and their consumer price index has been. The data reveals that all of the Western African Monetary Institute countries have failed to issue currencies that are reliable stores of value. But with histories like these, can anyone expect the currency issued by the new West African Central Bank to be any better than the Cedi, the Naira, or the Leone have been? These countries cannot escape their histories by simply creating a larger institution. And then I go through their criteria, which is a little technical. The point is, they set up the West African Monetary Institute wrong from the beginning. I went to Africa, I said the same thing. I'm not biting my tongue. This is not something for the consumption of the so-called American Negro in America. I said this, and I was blessed. Let me put the camera on me. I was blessed because when I was in Africa, I was able to meet members of the West African Monetary Institute. So we have a real dialogue. This is not intellectual, you know, conversation to make me look smart. They admitted that I was correct, and they need to target it a little bit better. Now, my other suggestion is that West Africa and Central Africa need to form one regional community. Central Africa is too small to be its own block. Western and Central Africa need to form one currency. Eastern and South Africa need to form one currency. And Northern Africa, including Egypt. Everybody wants to let Egypt out and off the hook. Egypt must be part of any Northern African currency unit. My suggestion is that Egypt should join what's called the Maghreb Union, which is Libya, Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, if I'm correct. Okay, so this gets a little technical, but you can read a little bit more about it. West African Monetary Zone, ECOWAS, the Community of Western African States, Economic Community. They have delayed a very critical part of moving to a single currency. They've delayed it by 5 years. For those that don't know, the effort toward a single African currency is predicated on regional economic communities forming their own currency. So the way we're going to get from 53 different currencies in Africa to one is Northern Africa will have a currency, Western Africa, Southern, Eastern, and Central. That's the plan, the official formula laid out by the African Union. It makes sense. Even when you consider the fact that many of these regions have a history of ethnic and kinship, tribal relations that move them beyond a nation. That's why you hear about Greater Somalia Land. Hutu and Tutsis, they go across national borders, so it makes more sense to try to organize Africa along regional lines rather than national. Okay? But this is a setback because Western Africa, to me, has shown the most progress, and now it has delayed its effort toward a single currency. Its movement has been delayed by 5 years. So they're way off target. They're 10 years off target from the original plan in 2000. Okay? I'm going to take a break and come back. I'm trying to get to this Street Sweeper Social Club album. I'm going to be tree hugging July 1st and July 8th. No show for 2 weeks. We'll be back on July 15th. Some of you get worried when I'm not on air. I wanted to read a comment from Nimba, because Nimba made a comment, I think, about a single currency. I'm trying to find it over this hot DJ Premier beat. Anybody up there not out there not up on Premier? We may do a whole show on DJ Premier. Nimba from Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, he says, it is time to see West African countries have a single currency. There is a talk about the new currency called the ECO that can be effective in 2012 or before that. West African countries have most of the resources. From human resources to mineral and all kinds of commodities, they need a very good policy of unification of economy and exchange of technology to be competitive in the global arena. Look at what the South American countries are doing. ECOWAS countries are better off having a single currency in order to have a strong economy. Very well said. I'm going to turn my African Union proposal, which is really private or only circulated through academic circles primarily, I'm going to turn it into a book for the public, God willing, by November or December. And we'll deal with these issues like foreign aid, debt. I'm going to explain how Africa can reduce its debt dramatically by going to gold. I'm going to talk about a new development economy, how to move people from subsistence farming into a trade and exchange economy using money. Once the people understand what a single currency backed by gold will do and they can actually have gold in their hands, you'll see all of Africa moving toward this. If they have to drag their leaders. I'll have some final thoughts on the black athlete in a moment. Sit tight. I think I'm finally going to get to this album, Street Sweeper Social Club. Now, what they did was they took the S off of Street Sweeper. They don't want no beef with the Drama King, K Slay. Be right back. Get him, Primo. June 24th, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. I almost forgot. Later for the Street Sweeper Social Club, we don't have enough time. Go get the album, though. I think Tom Morello and Boots from The Coup. Interesting combination. The guitar is actually the lead vocalist and Boots is backup. Interesting. Street Sweeper Social Club. We'll talk about that on July 15th when we come back. Now that the spot in the people in Arizona that exposed that Kentucky Fried Chicken is putting beef fat in their chicken, they were my nominee for Gangster of the Week. But I have a strong contender in the United States government and private sector. Let me read these three stories to you. From Monday's Washington Times, Taliban averts attacks with U.S. equipment. Taliban averts attacks with U.S. equipment. Let me give you another headline. Iran's web spying aided by Western technology. Another one. You got that so far? I don't even have to read these articles. These headlines alone make the case, right? Guns from America fuel Jamaica's gang wars. Do I have to read these articles or do the headlines make the point? One more time. Iran's web spying aided by Western technology. Wall Street Journal, Monday, June 22nd, 2009. Taliban averts attacks with U.S. equipment. Monday, June 22nd, 2009, Washington Times. Associated Press, Monday. Guns from America fuel Jamaica's gang wars. Enough said. Let me catch up on these comments. Elijah from Portland, Oregon. Many people really don't see the clear position and reasoning of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This is Elijah from Portland, Oregon. I lost myself. Hold on. I got my Africa Union proposal in my face. Yes, many people really don't see the clear position and reasoning of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. I remember the Honorable Louis Farrakhan in a national news TV program saying that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said about the presidency, that if any president would support his program, he would put the entire weight of the Nation of Islam behind that president. You are on point. Glenn from Philly, peace, said a monumental event could occur with this NBA draft, the emergence or downfall of Brandon Jennings, aka Young Money. Will the 19-year-old's move create a market for high schoolers to take their games overseas? Great point. Glenn from Philly is referring to, I think, last year's high school phenom. We did a story. We featured the story on Brandon Jennings out of New York, I think. No, he's from Compton, right? Where's he from? He's from Cali, right? I think he's from California anyway. The number one high school basketball player, rather than going through the corporate sharecropping work release program known as the NCAA, said, no, I'm going to get money going to Europe later for college. I'm going to get paid in Europe and then come and get in the draft. Because he was under 19, I think. And the NBA has this stupid rule about you having to be 19 in order to be drafted. So he said, I got to wait. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to get paid. So he went to Europe. He didn't do that. He did average, so-so, disappointing a little bit. Now he's coming into this draft. The question is, how high will Brandon Jennings be drafted? I think the top player in college, in high school ball this year, also went to Europe. I'm all for it. Go to Europe. Get paid, brothers. Raji from Dallas, Texas, he says, Brother said, no Texas hate for Oklahoma here. I'm a born and raised Chicagoan who went to school at the University of Arkansas, Razorbacks. See, no bias here, just my expert analysis. See, I accuse Raji of showing hatred, Lone Star State hatred toward Blake Griffin, who I think is going to be an all-star NBA player. But Raji from Dallas compares him to Corliss Williamson. Mark M. from D.C., he says, I think Blake Griffin's future is open. He could develop into a true player, but that depends on him and his vision of himself. Remember, for every college star whose game gets revealed in the pros, the player has choices. He can grow and evolve his game or change his game to play a specific role on his team. I think that Blake's future could go either way, from a simple rebounder, defensive forward, to a 20 and 10 star a night. I agree. Good analysis. Is Blake Griffin going to be like Elton Brand? Is that his upside? Raji says, Brother Cedric, I like the idea of you writing a book regarding Africa and economics. I'm also waiting for your new book so I can at least pretend to remotely know what it is you are talking about when it comes to finance and economics. I am waiting patiently. Yeah, my first book on entrepreneurship is slated for end of this summer. And then I'm coming right away with the Africa book because I want to strike while the iron is hot. And Raji wants to know, why does it make sense to have three or four different regional currencies to get to one? Or are you saying that it should stay regional and that there should not be a single currency for the entire continent? No, Raji, what I'm saying is, it's messy for all of the 53 countries in Africa to all of a sudden move to one currency. Also, the regional economies of Africa need to be better integrated. There needs to be better infrastructure, Raji. There needs to be freer movement between people in East Africa. Right now, you can look into the Eastern African community, Tanzania, Kenya, Rwanda, Burundi, and one other country, Uganda, I think. They're trying to integrate their economy. So it's easier, Raji, for five countries in East Africa or five countries in Northern Africa to focus on combining their economies, passports, customs, tax systems. There's a lot involved in going from five separate economies essentially into one. So it's easier if each region would just take a little bit at a time. And then once they're closer related to one another and comfortable doing business and trade, and the people are able to move back and forth and the system works for five regions, then you try it for a whole continent. So it's lift 5 pounds before you lift 50, okay? That's the approach. Regional integration, it was part of the 1991 Abuja Treaty, Raji. It was agreed that this would be the right way to work. I'm for it. I just think some of the regions are a little small when it comes to bringing a currency together, okay? Floyd Mayweather, I got some advice for him. Money May, injured ribs, cartilage problems, it appears. Let me bring my beds back up. So now the fight with Juan Manuel Marquez has been postponed. Oh, hold on. I'm having some issues here with my musical accompaniment. Yes, this is DJ C Nice. Now, I think we're looking good here. Hold on. Premiere. Thank you. Now. Okay. So I think you got the approach on that. Regional integration before continental-wide integration. I'll spend some more time on this, Raji. You can also go to my blog, CedricMuhammad.com. I write a lot more in depth. Read my latest piece on Karl Marx and why Libya, all the socialist economies of the world are having problems right now because they're dependent upon the U.S. dollar or forced to use it one way or the other. And they have not done what they need to do to replace it. Now, those of you that know I like to bowl, if you want to challenge me to a bowl off, if you're in the Northern Virginia, D.C., Maryland, Philly, Jersey, or New York area, even Wilmington can get some of this. If you'd like to challenge me to a bowl off, you can send me an email, cedric@blackcoffeechannel.com. My main man right now is Wes Mallott, the king of bowling. Check out what he did. I saw this on Saturday.
Mallott up 31, working on a perfect game through 8. Through 9.
And this is the king of bowling tournament. This is when I knew it was serious. Perfect at the 9 frames. If you want to bowl against me, I am the first BlackElectric.com business and building bowling champion. Kenavon Carter took the title.
Right now it's all about,
I think, in year 2.
Whether or not Wes Mallott can throw 3 more strikes in the 10th and shoot perfect 300 game.
Just make a good shot. That's all you can do.
The king may invade a country after this effort. Expand his empire. Oh, yeah!
Two more.
Cedric@blackcoffeechannel.com. No show July 8th, July 15th is when we come back. July 1st, we're off. Send in your final comments. I'll read them.
And again, earlier in the night, we showed you that Michael Wilpon of PTI defeated Wes Mallott. Wes Mallott not feeling so good about that and taking it out on Walter Ray tonight.
11 straight! One more for perfection! Get up, Lake Wales! Get up!
Oh, yeah, I forgot I was talking about Floyd Mayweather Jr. I'll get back to him.
Get the best out of your life here.
Can he bowl a 300? This is what perfection sounds like in bowling, y'all.
Come on. Let's get through it. Come on.
Wes Mallott for a perfect 300 game.
First with your scepter. I think it's appropriate for you to use that. How does it feel, Wes, to bowl a perfect game against Walter Ray Williams Jr.?
Well, I think that's happened more than once against him on TV. And, you know, I've been close before with 299 when I won my first title. And to be able to get up and do it again, I mean, I thought the season was over. I didn't know I could just keep going, and it just never stopped. So it's just been an unbelievable year, and very grateful and honored to be here.
Can he hold on to it another week? We will find out.
Wes Mallott, my man, bowled a perfect game, the king of bowling. You're looking at him right there. If you want to see me in the lanes, I'm not hard to find. I've never bowled a perfect game, though. Now, back to Floyd Mayweather Jr. I think Floyd needs to put the fight on free TV. Don't go pay-per-view. Remember, we started this show talking about the business of subordination following the teachings of the great Ed McMahon. How to subordinate your ego in order to make a person feel good and compliment them. Ed McMahon did that for Johnny Carson, Olean Arn Anderson, Barry Windham, and Tully Blanchard did that with Ric Flair. This is a business tactic, subordination. Well, Floyd Mayweather is not a draw by himself. Now, I don't know if he knows this yet. I'm not sure. I can't tell by how he presents his arguments. I get the impression that Floyd Mayweather thinks he can sell tickets by himself. He can't. I'll tell you why, though. It's not a knock on him. Floyd Mayweather sells tickets because he's part of a narrative. Oscar De La Hoya can sell tickets by himself. Ricky Hatton can definitely sell tickets by himself. Manny Pacquiao, I think, can sell tickets by himself. I'll tell you two other fighters that can only sell tickets as part of a narrative: Bernard Hopkins and Shane Mosley. Bernard Hopkins cannot sell tickets on his own. He has to be part of a narrative, a storyline. Even though Floyd Mayweather has name recognition, he was going to do the start of the Indy 500. He did WrestleMania. He's doing commercials. He's not a draw by himself. He's not a knockout artist. He's an acquired taste as far as watching him box. That's why I don't think him fighting Juan Manuel Marquez on pay-per-view as originally intended on July 18th was a good move. Put it on free TV and set up the next fight for pay-per-view, whether it's with Manny Pacquiao, which is what it should be. I think that's the only fight for Floyd, Manny Pacquiao. So now that he's hurt, let's rethink this thing with Juan Manuel Marquez. Juan Manuel Marquez is not a very known, he's not a known fighter outside of Mexico or Mexican-American fight fans or true boxing fans. He's a nice, he's a nice, quiet, positive figure. He speaks pretty good English, but it's going to be hard for the American boxing fan to fulfill or see Floyd Mayweather as a villain in this fight. No matter what Floyd Mayweather does to Juan Manuel Marquez, it's not going to make American boxing fans like Juan Manuel Marquez or hate Floyd Mayweather. So when Floyd Mayweather takes on the role of hero or comeback figure, it's not going to be as an effective of a marketing tool as when he's a villain, which he will be against Manny Pacquiao. I think after Mayweather beats Pacquiao, he will become a sympathetic figure. Then he can go and probably fight whoever he wants. Okay, this is unsolicited business advice for Money May. He needs to be part of a narrative. You feel me? Jay-Z was kind of like that for a while too. And if you notice, Jay-Z is not a big he's not a big live performing artist. He does not sell a lot of tickets live. Jay-Z makes an existing event bigger. I think he just came to Summer Jam by surprise, supposedly. Hot 97, right? Jigga showed up. But Jigga by himself is not a big draw. You understand what I'm saying? We could do a whole show on this. Because in a sense, Floyd Mayweather has been subordinating himself to these other figures, Oscar De La Hoya and Ricky Hatton, in order to make more money. Floyd Mayweather becomes bigger by making himself part of something beyond himself, like the great Ed McMahon. This is good teaching right here. I think I'm going to send in your comments. I may go 5 minutes over. Eleazar from Brooklyn says he wants to know the name of that last hourly intro song with Papoose. I'm not going to tell you, brother. You will have to figure it out on your own. Hope you have a great weekend. If you want to communicate with me, I will be hugging trees, most likely. Always a pleasure and honor, privilege to come before you. And I do have the hottest beds in the business, without doubt. I think we'll try something revolutionary today on the outro. Taliban averts attacks with U.S. equipment. Iran's web spying aided by Western technology. Guns from America fuel Jamaica's gang wars. Hashim Thabeet from Tanzania, first NBA player ever. I've been watching the Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Yankees on MLB TV, by the way. I'm a Yankees and Phillies fan. Is that possible? Philly and New York. You all keep me informed of this NAACP Congressional Black Caucus ridiculous disagreement over reparations. Join the fan page for the show on Facebook. You have to sign on. Don't become my personal friend unless you want to. Become a fan of the show. You'll see the crescent. Click that. I'll stay on that page over the break, periodically updating my tree hugging status. It's about that time. West Milan 300 game. You've inspired me. I'm going to hit the bowling lanes at some point, God willing. Prayers go out to the families of those who were killed or hurt on this metro accident, the Red Line. The police chief of DC, be careful. The cameras are rolling while you're laughing. I know you didn't mean anything by it, but it looked really bad to see you moments before a press conference talking about the tragedy, laughing. You, Michael Brown, behind you, and Mayor Adrian Fenty in front. Step your game up, Police Chief Lanier, I think her name is. Ernie Watts, the great saxophone, tenor sax, in the vein of Coleman Hawkins and Lester Young. Do the homework on him. And do the knowledge on Charlie Parker and Johnny Hodges, alto sax, like my grandfather. Bino says that it is not possible to be a Phillies and a Yankees fan at the same time. Bino, what's wrong with me? I feel a loyalty to both. I'm more of a Phillies fan. Can I have an American League team and a National League team?
There is also an FBI file on Russell, branding him as, quote, an arrogant Negro.
The only line they didn't block out was that he didn't give autographs to little white kids.
Throughout the decade, wherever race and sport intersected, Brown and Russell would lend their hand.
up until this time, black athletes have thought in terms of jock straps and gold medals and sneakers and nothing else.
When Dr. Harry Edwards began his Olympic project for human rights and organized top amateur athletes to protest the 1968 Olympics, he reached out in vain to numerous pro bowlers.
Two athletes reached out to us. One of them was Jim Brown. The first one was Bill Russell.
How much did their support really matter?
Oh, it mattered a great deal to me.
Why?
There was a substantial Avery Brundage perspective out there, and Mr. Brundage has stated, I don't understand why these Negroes are talking about boycotting anything. The Olympic Games are the only forum in the world where Negroes and communists can stand on the same level as the rest of humanity. So you can imagine what the perspective was.
I did live in New York for a little bit. Cameron, New Jersey, Patterson, great show, good energy. Glad to see you still got that wellness retreat thing going on. Did you know that Ed Lover, your MTV Raps from Power 105 New York, is an avid bowler? Take care, peace. Oh, he's a Mets fan. Cameron from Patterson, New Jersey, a Mets fan. National League all the way. And they did Willie Randolph wrong, though. I agree. I didn't know Ed Lover was a bowler.
In preparing for this interview, I read the literature that your organization puts out and publishes, and I'd like to go through some of it to find out what you believe and how it affects America. This is your newspaper, which comes out once a month, and on the back page,
once a week,
and the back page is the Muslim program, What the Muslims Want. And if I could go through a few of these, let me put one on the screen and get your reaction. The first is in terms of territory. And you'll see, since we cannot get along with them in peace and equality, we believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete separation in a state or territory of our own. Is that your view in 1997, a separate state for black Americans?
First, the program starts with number one. That is number four. The first part of that program is that we want freedom, a full and complete freedom. And the second is we want justice, and we want equal justice under the law, and we want justice applied equally to all, regardless of race or class or color. And the third is that we want equality. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. If we can get that within the political, economic, social system of America, there's no need for point number four. But if we cannot get along in peace after giving America 400 years of our service and sweat and labor, then of course separation would be the solution to our race problem.